Hey there, everyone, and welcome to the Gosh Daniel podcast. So with this episode, we're trying something a little bit new, mainly because, well, we want to find new ways to get more episodes out. And this was one of the ways, by starting a new kind of bi-weekly...
Like a bi-weekly podcast style, I guess.
Yeah.
So every week we'll still have our normal Gosh Daniel episodes, unless something horrible happens, like seems to happen quite often lately, where we don't put it out until late or we don't put it out at all, stuff like that. But yeah, we'll try to have a normal episode every week and then a bi-weekly episode on top of that. Not really sure about the release date, but we'll try to be consistent with it.
Yeah,
these are called, these will be book club episodes that should be a little bit shorter, like 20 to 40 minutes, but, we're gonna number them like normal. We're hoping to get close to 50 episodes by the end of the year, so.
Yeah, that's our goal. And, so, with book club, I guess, I just wanted to find a reason to, read books and talk about them on the podcast.
Yeah, me too.
And so I came to Bob about it, and yay, we came out with this, I guess. So
yeah, it'll be cool. Excited. And it'll be something more evergreen on our channel, I think. So a lot of what we talk about is news, but this doesn't really have to be. You know, this is talking about one book that, you know, sort of, while not remaining popular, sort of will, you know, always be readable and not...
A book
surpassed
that will
by,
always be readable.
But, I mean, it won't... Books remain readable. They don't get surpassed by new information unless you think of something like the EU, which got trashed.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, you can still talk about those books, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And people can still read them, and they're still in print, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I bet everyone's dying to wonder... Well, they probably just read the title.
Yeah.
What book
Everybody
we're gonna
is
talk
dying
about.
To start wondering...
Yeah.
...about what we're going to talk about. Like, they aren't even at the point of wondering...
Uh-huh.
But they're dying to start wondering.
Exactly.
I like
your
phrasing.
So we'll let them wonder.
Yeah, we'll let you guys wonder. We'll just start talking about the book without ever mentioning the names of any characters or the title of the book.
So, all right, so getting it was good.
So there was like a thing and all the characters were like trying to make it and it was cool, I think.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. All right, fine. Okay, so I just finished Catalyst. And so that's the prequel book to Rogue One.
More specifically, Star Wars Catalyst, a Rogue One novel by James Luceno.
Okay, we get it. You are great with titles, apparently.
Yeah, we need to say the title, we need to say the author.
By James Luceno.
Publication date, I think we could say as well. That was...
Uh-huh.
When was that released? Was it...
It was like
September or October 2017? Uh-huh. I mean, 2016?
Yeah. 2016,
yeah. So I had already read it right before Rogue One, and I'm not sure if we've talked about that before. But
we probably have, because I've mentioned me wanting to read it, and talking about how you have read it, so...
Yeah, right. It makes the movie better, but yeah.
We can conclude that from the beginning. So I read it, in case you were wondering, and it was awesome, and so it was worth talking about it. For the first episode of Book Club. And I guess we won't exactly have a format. We'll just kind of spat things that we thought, you know, when reading it. And so,
yeah,
I'll let you,
like a
I'll
normal
you,
book club. Well, I thought Jamie's struggle here was just really, it was amazingly written. The prose is excellent.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah, stuff like that, basically.
Yeah, okay. I'll talk about the actual book. Well, I didn't actually. I tried to reread it today, in time.
Re-listen, let's be
what,
honest.
What that means is that I had it on Audible, and I tried to listen through the whole thing at triple speed, in time for us recording. And while I did not make it, I got over halfway, which I think is pretty impressive.
Dude,
sort of.
Yeah, you should be proud of that.
I'm very proud about how dedicated I was to listening to something at triple speed.
Uh-huh.
So I can really mainly just talk about the beginning of the book, the first half of it, because that's the part I remember more. It's really well written, but it suffers from what I think all of the other EU books that I've read so far have suffered from, which is it's a lack of like an actual story,
wow.
If that makes sense. Like it, they all seem like history books to me, in that they document one character or a few characters going through, like, a long period of time, usually trying to show us more about, like, the timeline of Star Wars, I guess, trying to, like, create a backbone for the new books.
Yeah, it's true.
That the EU didn't really bother to have, and I think that made it more strong. That the timeline was just a bunch of different series that all fit into a timeline. It wasn't, this book shows these characters going through the same events that this character is going through, and almost all of the books have been like the end of the Clone Wars up until episode 4, and that's been almost all of the books that there are that I've read. Mm-hmm. And I guess with the exception of what's it called, Aftermath, but that one was just a bad book. But sorry, I'll finish the thought. But
okay, sorry, yeah, you finish.
No, I was sorry. I just think that they should stop writing books like this. Even though they are interesting and fun to read, they're a lot more boring, and they sort of cover over the same stuff that all the other ones cover.
Yeah, yeah.
They need to branch out, I guess.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying is they've been writing a lot of books that are more just filling the gaps instead of just telling continual stories that are...
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what
you're saying. So not just like a, look at, this is a book about Luke, and he is, you know, trying to catch this person, or I don't know, that's a really lame example, but, you know, something like that. Or like how the Thrawn trilogy was, where they're trying to basically further the New Republic, and the main struggle is that, you know, Thrawn is also sort of launching an offensive to destroy the New Republic and reinstate the Empire. And so there's a series of books in which they're dealing with that, and they have some side plots and whatever, but they're going towards one common goal within the span of, like, maybe a year. That's the whole series.
Yeah.
Versus something like Catalyst or Thrawn, which are really good books. I like them, but what they do is they start at an early point in the character's life, or pick up at a point in the character's life that's before you know them, and they basically take them all the way up until the point in which you see them in, like, movies or TV shows. They're always supporting material.
It's true.
They're never
good point.
Important enough to actually be its own story. I think that's part of just the story group's thing, is that they're like, we want to save all the big important stories for the movies. And I think that's sort of a bad decision, because sometimes it's fun to read a book where a story happens, not just here's some background information on a character you know from a movie.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, although they do that, it still did make the movie better, so they did do
it
what
did,
they were trying to
do. It improved the movie, it did exactly what it was trying to do, it was well written, the characters were well developed. It's just that this type of book, I think, is getting stale in this universe.
It's true.
It's a great book.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, I mean, that's definitely the main flaw to it. What are some of the stuff that you, like, do you remember some of the stuff that you really enjoyed, or?
Oh, I guess I wasn't trying to insult this book, because that's also James Luceno's writing style, I think, in general.
Yeah.
When he was writing for the EU, he wrote Plagueis, which was also this sort of long, continuous history of a character kind of prose.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I said prose there, but yeah.
It's stuck in your brain.
It's stuck in my head now. So yeah, the prose was excellent. I don't know. That's how he writes his books. So it's not really, it's not something against this book. It's just I wish, as a whole, these series of books would branch out, because I think they're trying to make it so people who don't read the books don't feel left out.
Uh-huh.
But I think it would be cooler to instead be like, here's a series of things that happen that, while the movies don't have to exactly reference, it's an interesting story that is good in its format instead of supporting another format. But, yeah, that said, I really do like this book. I think Lyra is probably my favorite character in the book. It's between Lyra and Krennic, but I think Lyra is probably the most accurately represented in the movie.
Really?
Because, well, I think Krennic is really cool.
Oh, yeah, Krennic is the best.
Throughout the entire book, but in the movie, he's only like he was in the book in the, like, the first few scenes. And then all of a sudden, he's, like, a completely different person. And you would never know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't seen... character from the book. I haven't seen the movie after reading the book, so I probably wouldn't know, but...
Oh, right, yeah. Well, yeah. If we're judging the... if we're judging the book based off of the movie, then it's not exactly, you know, it's not a great representation of the characters. But the characters in the book are better than in the movie.
Yeah.
And I think they're more interesting.
I like the role that Tarkin had in the book. And, like, and I got what you're saying because a while ago I heard everyone... before Rogue One was coming out, they're like, they have to have Tarkin in this. Like, how are they not going to have him in Rogue One? And then, because after have the people who have already read the book, they were saying that. And so I was like, I wonder, I mean, he must play an important role in the book, I guess, for people to be saying that. And after reading it, I guess I could see where the people that were saying that were coming from. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think they... I actually liked Tarkin maybe better in the movie than in the book here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a faithful representation of Tarkin as a character. But, I mean, James Luceno's last book was Tarkin, so...
So, I mean, he's probably got him down.
Yeah, that's what you'd expect from a character who just... Yeah. Also, that's sort of a thing that I've been noticing with the EU books as well, is that most of their books... are, you know, the same sort of timeline book, but they're also just titled after a character. So they've had Tarkin, Thrawn, Ahsoka, you know? Phasma just came out. I think they're just... Are they coming out with one that's just called Leia? Or is it Leia colon something else?
I know, that's funny, though. Like, watch, they're just gonna come out with a book, and, like, a book for every character in Star Wars... And it's just their name as the title.
It'll get really, really weird. Dr. Evazan. And just, like, really boring.
Porg number 3.
Porg number 3. Tebow. Wicket.
Oh, yay, Wicket.
I mean, it's weird. Because if you look at the EU books, there aren't many of them that are just titled after a character's name. Actually, I can't think of one.
Yeah, that's true. They all have some deep, kind of poetic title.
Yeah, like Visions of the Future, Spectre of the Past, Heir to the Jedi.
Yeah, and then you have
Heir to the
Ahsoka.
Jedi is not really a... Yeah. Heir to the Empire, though.
Oh.
And
That always sounded good, Heir to the Empire.
It's cool. And then, the canon book had Heir to the Jedi... is this one that came out with... It was basically just Luke in between episode 4 and 5, from what I understand. And I've heard it's, like, maybe the worst book that's been put in the canon
so far.
It's so
sad that they like, erased the expanded universe and then are making this other one that's just not good.
I think that it... I'm actually sort of on board for it, at least with the movies. I just wish that the direction that... like Star Wars Random House is going in, it would just be better. They've done perfect with the movies, I think. And they've had some really good synergistic stuff between books and movies, as this book shows, but I would appreciate if they put more work into making the books actually better.
Yeah. This is more of like a expanded universe discussion.
Yeah, this is becoming like EUV canon or something.
And, well, we might have to change the title of this.
I don't want to.
No,
Let's just talk more about Catalyst. Can you give me a rundown of the plot? Because there isn't really a plot.
Okay.
But things happen.
So basically, I don't know these names. You're gonna be like, you know, saying all these names and stuff, but I'm just gonna be blanking because I don't even know. Okay, so basically, it starts out where Lyra and her husband, Galen, are on this one planet. I think it starts with a Z or something, or V. Is it Vulcan or something like that?
It was Vault, I think.
Oh, Vault, Vulcan. I wonder where I got that from. Vault, yeah. And they're working for Zerpan Industries, and they're doing some energy research, I guess. And then all of a sudden, there's like a something happens where there's this peace contract or something like that, where like the separatists end up getting the reign of the planet or something like that. So
yeah, so it starts in the Clone Wars, basically.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's how the timeline works, I guess. And then they end up taking Galen away and Lyra, and they separate them. And at this time, Lyra is already pregnant with Jin. And then they stay in that prison, separated in like different buildings for a while, I guess. Like maybe 6 months, I think it was, or something like that.
Oh, it had to be less than that.
You think? Okay.
Yeah, because I remember from reading it earlier that it was like maybe they got imprisoned like 2 months before Lyra had Jin.
Yeah, so it
and had obviously to be long enough Galen and Jin are in Rogue One. I don't really think that needs to be explained, but just in case. Yeah.
And so they have Jin, and then like something happens, and then but he ends up Galen ends up getting to see Jin, and then that's when he calls her like Stardust for the first time, I guess. And so that's a moment. And then
yeah, that was really cool when I saw that in the movie, because I had read the book and he calls her Stardust that. Throughout it, and he calls her that, and everybody's like, that's so freaking lame. I'm like, did you bother? I mean, it shouldn't stand just because it was good in the book, but like it makes it matter more. It makes you care.
Yeah, I was wondering like how it would be to read this first, because when I was reading it, I kept on thinking, oh, the movie came out, then this book came out. But no, the book came out first, and so people who read the book just get this extra like thing, like knowledge from it, than, you know, the people who only watch the movie and get appreciate it way more, which I liked. And so yeah, that must have been really cool for you to like hear Stardust and be like, hey, they actually used it. That was actually relevant in the movie.
You know, yes. You
know, even though they didn't like, you know, it's not cool when in books and movies they like try to make it sound like it's not going to be relevant, but they say it and you know it's going to be relevant. But it's even better when they say something that's actually kind of important and you don't think it's going to be important, but it ends up being important. So
yeah. And then yeah, like when they're going through and at the like at near the end of the Rogue One in the third act, it was cool because like they're going through all these different projects, right? Trying to find the Death Star plans, and they go through all the different names of the other projects that they're talking about in Catalyst.
Really?
Yeah, like you see all of those names there.
I didn't even. Really?
I don't even remember, but like Project Celestial Power was
yeah,
one of them.
Wow, that's
yeah,
cool
stuff like that. So I guess we should probably explain more what happened in the plot. So eventually yeah, Lyra has the baby, they get saved by the Republic to some extent. And then but Krennic is part of the Republic, and he yeah, basically tries to get Galen to work with the Republic to help them with all this military stuff, sort of.
Yeah.
Galen refuses because he's a pacifist or whatever. Then he almost goes into debt, and they're really poor for a while. They can't really afford to eat. And Krennic, basically this book is Krennic tries to get Galen to work on military stuff. Galen refuses. And then Krennic basically lets them, lets everything goes downhill. I can't even talk. But then Krennic lets everything go downhill for the Ursos until he swoops in and saves them, and then tries to get them to work on the military stuff, and then lets everything sink, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He just manipulates Galen the whole time, so.
Yeah, and then it gets to a point where he's just using the research that Galen's doing, thinking that he's doing it for some energy you know, efficiency project or whatever, and using that and trying to change it a little bit so that it, you know, to turn it into a weapon, I guess, without Galen knowing.
And then Galen finds out and basically runs away.
Yeah, and that's basically the plot. And then, like, it ends where their Jin is, like, a toddler, and I kind of like that last, I think it was, like, the last chapter or the last part of it. It, like, the book was kind of talking about everything from Jin's perspective.
I don't remember that.
It was like, mommy said, and daddy said, and then they hugged me or something like that, or Jin or whatever. But it was like from her perspective, which was weird. And it was like kind of a shift from the parent's story to then hers. I don't know.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, and then it ends where they're like, we're going to this planet and it's green and the Empire hopefully won't find you guys there. Oh yeah, and the book goes, you know, when, you know, the Republic and the Separatists, their fight ends and then the Empire is born, and then yeah, that happens during the whole story, so yeah.
Yeah. It's just well done.
Yeah, I thought it was well done. And I liked it. And I mean, it was a great addition to make you appreciate Rogue One more, which is always good, so
yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's everything. I don't know what else we have to say because about Catalyst. So, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
It's just, it's so distant in my memory that I
it was a while ago when you read it.
Oh, but, like, you see some of the scenes that are actually, like, sort of in the book, in the movie, in Jin's flashbacks.
Yeah?
Like, you see her as a little kid getting tucked in by Galen, and then you see Krennic through the door, and you can tell they're on Coruscant.
That's cool.
In the movie. And it's, yeah, because, like, Krennic will come over and talk to them, and... But I also liked the sort of rivalry. I guess I want to talk about that a little bit. There was a bit of a rivalry. What? They just sort of hated each other. I guess Lyra and Krennic.
That was Galen, best.
Galen was, like, sort of friends with Krennic. Because they sort of went to school together. Yeah, he wasn't very...
It wasn't like a true friendship. It was like a Krennic kind of knows his way to how to handle people. And
yeah.
And then Galen didn't. And he just kind of, you know, tags along with Krennic, I guess.
Yeah, so. He's like, oh, Krennic seems like he's being nice, I think.
Yeah.
And Lyra's a bit more...
Aware, I guess.
Aware of that, yeah. And she doesn't like Krennic. Krennic keeps trying to send her off doing other things and stuff like that. And then, you know, then there's the cool thing is that that doesn't really end until in the movie when Krennic has her killed, you know?
Yeah. That must have been a big scene for you having read the book.
It was a bit intense. It was sad.
Yeah, because... Like,
but, like, I knew she would have to die because you don't see her in any of the other trailers, really, other than that scene.
Yeah.
So.
And like, I mean, not a lot... People who were watching it that hadn't read the book probably didn't really, like... Weren't, like, that sad, but I bet people who had read the book were sad.
Yeah, I felt like I knew those characters, and then you just see... Yeah. But it was so awesome. Like, Krennic was so great in those first two scenes.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah.
Well,
we went about 24-25 minutes. That's good.
Cool. Look at us winning.
So, yeah.
So this is all right for this first episode of Book Club.
That's, yeah. Maybe we should have more structure.
Yeah. I mean, this was fun. We did kind of trail off into different... But it all stayed mainly on Star Wars and the EU, so...
Yeah, that's not hard for me to do.
Oh, no, that's definitely not hard for you to do. I guess, alright, is that it? Like, thank you for listening if you made it this far. And it's weird because it's so short and I kind of want to just keep on talking for longer, but...
Well, I mean, if you have something else to say.
I like pancakes, so...
Oh, okay. Me too, yeah. Well, I didn't eat dinner, Daniel.
You didn't eat dinner?
So, I would really appreciate if you were done talking so we could end the podcast so I could go eat dinner.
Okay, I'll stop being so selfish then.
Yeah, you're being so selfish.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable. No, it's all good. Yeah, you'll so forgive me someday. I will, maybe, hopefully, for your sake. We'll try to make them more structured. Yeah. Leave. You can actually tweet us book suggestions, and if they're interesting, yeah. I won't make any promises, but if they're interesting and we can acquire them easily, then we will read them.
You should make us read it.
Please, no. I don't know how we could do that in 2 weeks anyways.
That'd be insane. It'd be crazy. Die.
Oh my gosh.
But if you did make us read it, then we'd probably have to have some prep. But speaking of it, I'm going to be doing a review of it, but I'm going to put it on YouTube only. So I don't know when this will go out, so it might already be out, the review, or it might not, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the interesting thing about it is that how would you actually translate that in romantic languages?
What?
Right? Is there a, like, Latin and stuff?
Oh.
Is there a way that you would be able to translate it? Because that seems like it would be part of another word. Right?
But they do it, I think they do it more as, like, a name. So you know how they do names? So I think they do it as a name and not as a, that's something that's supposed to be a part of a sentence. So, or they translate what kind of, like, sounds like, I don't know, that's weird. Yeah, that's hard. Never mind, why do you have to bring Latin into this?
I'm sorry, I bet they just call it, like, clown in Spanish.
But clown.
Like, but, like, a neuter version of the word clown.
Yeah.
I bet that's how they would do it.
Well, for those of you who take Spanish, let us know. Because, you know, people who take Spanish are going to be listening, so...
Most definitely. Everybody takes Spanish nowadays.
We have a huge Mexican fan base, actually, so...
Hey. That's very true.
Alright, well, thanks again for listening, and we also want to make you go to Twitter at TheGoshDanielPod and tweet us. And if you're a true fan, you'll tweet us.
It's true. We actually got a tweet today.
We did?
From Hunt the Bunt Gunter.
Oh, Hunt the Bunt Gunther, you're the
he
best.
He asked if we're going to make an It review. Or actually, he asked if we're going to see it.
Ooh, now I have to reply.
And I did reply. I said that you saw it.
Okay, cool.
That we might do a podcast review, but maybe not. And that we're putting in a review out on YouTube.
Coolio.
For 10 minutes.
Coolio. Yep. All right, well, then that's cool. And speaking of Hunt the Bunt Gunther, thank you for being a Patreon. Along with,
what does she want to be called now?
It's hard.
Or she, he?
Jeez, you can't do gender reveal.
That's true. I just don't know.
Yeah.
What was it? What was her name? His name, maybe. Noreen.
Noreen.
Noreen Smith, right. Cool.
Okay, cool. Noreen, well, thank you for also being a Patreon.
Oh, yes, and then he who wishes to not be named as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it.
And there's nothing else, but we're still saying and.
Oh, yeah, well, we revamped the Patreon thing. So
we did.
If you hated how we did it before,
you're gonna
give
hate
it another
it
look.
More.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we are doing these biweekly podcasts on the channel, but on top of that, the week that we aren't doing this biweekly podcast, we have another biweekly podcast that
Whoa.
We are doing over on Patreon. You can get a biweekly episode on Patreon. That just means you get 2 episodes a week if you listen to all of our episodes.
Wow.
We're coming out with 2 episodes a week, guys.
Folks, that's a guaranteed 2 episode a week. Okay, that's a great deal.
Guaranteed.
And I said that weird, but that's a great deal, okay?
Yeah,
and...
for $10 a month.
For only 12 easy payments of $10
hey,
a month.
So you're giving us $10 a month for 8 podcasts a month. Sometimes more.
Whoa.
Sometimes even 10 if there's like a, you know, 5-week month.
Whoa.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's great, actually. And we hope that you have a great day or night or morning.
Oh, yeah. We really do.
Okay, goodbye.
Good night.
And good morning.
All of you people. And good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And good evening.
Good fortnight. Good
good
great tomorrow.
Good Hollows Eve.
Depressing past.
Oh. Lights.
But a bright future.
Deadlights. Deadlights. Wah!